The views and opinions expressed on Lifeguards Off Duty are those of its hosts and guests exclusively. They do not represent any entity, organization, or municipality.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Michael Kaczmar.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Sean.
And this is Lifeguards Off Duty with Dr. Michael Kaczmar, the Jersey Shore number one lifeguard-themed video podcast.
Watch us on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook Live. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever streaming service you prefer.
If you would like to contact us, send an email to drkaczmar@icloud.com. Follow us on Instagram at lg.association.
All right, let's get started.
Let's start the show.
Let's do it.
Everyone,
thank you for tuning in. We have a little technical difficulty. This is Lifeguards Off Duty with Dr. Michael Kaczmar. Today's date is November, I think, the 18th. What's today's date? The 18th of November, 18th. Year of our Lord, 2022. We have the whole crew here today. We have Tyler.
Yeah, we've been doing this for over a year.
Let's go.
I don't think we've ever, like, addressed that.
No. Well, we're getting
out. Well, this is episode 52. There were a few, like, episodes in there that we lost track of and numbers and stuff. So
we're getting there.
Episode 52, we might as well celebrate a year, right? Yeah.
We're getting there.
Congrats, guys.
Sean. Hello, Sean.
Hello.
So Sean's here. And then we have the other person here is our whiteboard. There's our whiteboard.
Hi, whiteboard.
So we're talking today about the World Cup 2022. These guys are... Tyler's a soccer enthusiast,
fanatic.
So he wants to talk about that, and so he's got the floor today.
Yeah, Cash, I just think prepared. It's relevant.
Can you name five famous soccer players? So
this whole episode is going to be a bit of a quiz for both of you guys.
Oh yeah,
in
me
some
too.
Ways.
I don't know that many.
I don't follow soccer anymore, but I've played soccer in high school.
No shit.
Yeah, I played it for at least 2 years.
You get your varsity letter.
I don't remember, you know.
That's a no.
I wasn't, you know, I tell you, I played baseball. I really liked that. And I got into soccer and I was swimming, but the high school didn't have a swim team. So I was swimming with the college kids. And, but I liked soccer. You know what happened was, it was a bunch of us friends together. We had a bunch of jocks with football team, basketball. And, you know, we could be stars on the soccer field, you know. But soccer wasn't a big thing back then. A lot of everybody was like, ooh, soccer. You know, I don't know how it was in the world at that time.
And when were you in high school?
I graduated 76.
Okay, so was that pre-Pele in the United States?
No, I heard him. Yeah, I played soccer, so it was
Sean thinks of things as pre and post-Star Wars. Pre and post-episode
70,
six?
Yeah, it was four. It would have been 76, 75, 74, 73 in there. Mm-hmm. So it was a different kind of world. Soccer was
Let me look up real quick when Pele came over.
Soccer,
I should know this.
Soccer was not really considered a big deal. But, you know, in high school, you know, you had all the big jocks. Like my brother, he would play football, basketball.
1975, so a year after you graduated high school.
Well, I graduated 76.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But so he just was starting. But here's the deal. In high school, you know, the guys, it was a different world back then. You had a group of athletes that predominantly, you know, they did baseball, football, and basketball. They played all three sports, and the sports were all kind of, you know, gauged to where they could, you know, jump. You know, so if you weren't good at all three sports, you had a hard time getting in one. I'm not kidding around. I mean, it's like, in other words, if you weren't an all-around good athlete. So I was never a good basketball player. I was, you know, pretty good at football and really good at baseball. But, like, then, you know, you're not going to – you could go interchange
a little bit. That's not it at all anymore.
No.
There's a baseball player in your high school. There's a football player in your high school.
Right. So what happened with us
– What, like multidisciplined?
That's not much of a thing anymore.
Yeah.
But what happened with us is that there was a bunch of us, and whoever the soccer coach was – He sucked us up. He goes, listen, frig those people. You know, you could be a star
Frick
here.
Frick those people.
And, you know, we played every game, the whole game. We never, you know, I mean, it was, we, and it was this guy, Ed Mackey. He was the goalie, and it was Gary Tambori, who was a lifeguard on our beach, and me. And we were left, you know, back and right back. But we, you know, nobody could get a goal, you know, through us. I mean, but we were stars, you know, it was nice. But nobody, you know, so, oh, soccer, you know, like it kind of was weird. Anyway,
there's actually
just so I give you know. So I did
New
play.
Jersey is like super critical to the history of the United States national team. The national team that played in the I think 94 World Cup that we hosted
mm-hmm.
had like a shocking number of guys from like one town in Jersey, Kearney. But yeah, that's a pretty cool story. It's called Soccer Town USA. I think I brought it up on this before. Do you remember? Well,
I remember Pele.
I'll ask both of you guys. What's like your first memory of the FIFA World Cup? You want to start, Sean?
Italy, when they were in it or something.
When they won?
When they won, was that 2006-ish, 2004? Something.
I think they won in 06. I think they beat France.
Yeah.
That was when Zidane headbutted.
I was at my neighbor's house, and his dad is Italian, like grew up born in Italy. It was a really big deal. It was awesome to be at.
Dude, Italians are crazy about their soccer.
Yeah, both of his sons played.
Yeah, every pizzeria you go into, you see like a Napoli scarf or like a Roma scarf. They're crazy about it.
When I was working down in British Virgin Islands, you know, all those years, I'd be down there and the Super Bowl would be on, you know, it would be going. I'd be down there at that time of year, and nobody would have it on the TV, you know. And I used to say, hey, you know, anybody want to watch the Super Bowl? And like, what's that, you know? And even baseball, you know, they were more into cricket. But when they had the World Cup, oh, my God. And I've been other places in the world. I mean, they go crazy. And I started to get an idea of how big the sport it was in the rest of the world, you know, and how minuscule even our football, NFL, and mm-hmm. you know, really, and still today, I mean, I you know, there's not too many people, different parts of the world, who really care about football.
I mean,
now,
honestly,
I'm talking about our football.
I know,
but American. Soccer, you know,
in actually, this country for girls, it's like the absolute number one sport, and for youth sports in general, I'm pretty sure it's number one. And like, what's a thought I've always had about this, and like, people from other countries will probably call me an idiot for this because in terms of
they
call
the
world
you an idiot
game,
for other things, but you know.
In terms of the world game, soccer, you know, football for the rest of them, we're like really young. Like, we haven't been playing the sport for nearly as long as the rest of the world.
Football dominated.
However,
here.
Like, my belief is that if you take, you know, every other athletic metric, like, we're at the top. Any other sport, Olympic sports, we're always up in the race for most golds. It's pretty clear that the United States have some of the absolute best athletes in the world. The girls team, the girls national team, is like the most prolific international soccer team of all time, men or women. Like, other than maybe like the men's Brazil team. But if we just keep getting more kids to play soccer, eventually we're going to be in that top echelon of the world game. Sure.
But you still have, you know, other sports that people
the men's program.
Yeah, you know, baseball. I could tell you what I think about, you know, one thing you got to realize about soccer, which is really interesting if you get into it, you know, you need a ball, a couple guys.
Yeah, no, it's so simple, the game.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even need anything else. I mean, a place to kick the ball around. You know, football, you need all kinds of, the equipment, and, you know, you still need a field, but you still need the equipment. Baseball, you know, soccer is pretty straightforward, easy, you know.
Yeah,
and where, let me ask you this, where did soccer originate from? Because I thought they were playing soccer in South America. Where did it all come?
Some people will say China, like they used to kick around like the heads of their enemies or something, like through a loop. But it was England. So what happened was, I'm glad you asked because this is interesting, and I wasn't going to bring any of this up. But this is an interesting kind of thing that happened over there. What they would do was every town had kind of their own version of what was being called football.
Right, right.
Now, some towns, the game they were playing, it was closer to rugby.
Yeah.
Other towns, it was, like, even more violent.
Yeah.
You could use your hands and feet. Yeah. You know, some towns you could only use your hands. Yeah. Some towns you could only use your feet. And there was just this mix of all these different types of football being played throughout England until along came this organization called the FA, the Football Association. And what they did, and this is the main reason why England gets credited, especially with creating the modern game, is the FA was the first one to make an organized rule set.
What year was that?
This was the late 1700s, I believe.
Oh, really? That so as a you know, because at one time England was the
like the world superpower,
right? Yeah. And they guess they spread it all around the world.
Yes, and they it was originally used as like training for soldiers, as most other sports were. Even if you look at like lacrosse, that was a reason for that. Yeah. But another interesting kind of fact about that is the word soccer is actually a term that originated in England back when the FA created what they were calling association football. So there were just regular footballers, and then there was association football, which was these organized teams playing under the FA rules. Yeah. It was a bit of like a derogatory term.
Is it wordplay on association?
Yes. So basically, the people playing non-association football, they were just footballers. They were the regular people, the working class.
And then everyone else was associationers?
Associate, yes. And then it turned into soccer. It was derogatory because these FA teams, they were full of well-off, wealthy, like upper-class gentlemen. That's why they call it the gentleman's game. Yeah. Because they were dedicating hours and hours a day to playing football, association football, where the factory workers couldn't. So they were pissed off because, and one of the main, and this is why, this is a major thing I just didn't even mention, but the reason why there was this divide is because the FA didn't allow you to pay players. So those factory workers couldn't play on the FA teams. If you kind of get that. And then eventually teams started paying players. And then now it's turned into
this sounds kind of similar to today. Like an amateur and professional sportsman for like other sports at the time, like golf, tennis, and rowing. Like you were only a professional if you weren't a laborer.
Exactly. It's the same thing. And then with that came this like distaste for these soccer players. So kind of in the same way, it's like it's still derogatory almost, but in a different way, like because those stupid Americans play their soccer, you know, like we don't call it because it's the world's game, and what are we so stuck up that we have our own version of football, so we're gonna call this soccer? Like,
well, it's interesting when you talk about, because I'm just asking, because like, you know, if you look at baseball, is pretty much American sport, and then when we after World War II, we basically occupied Japan and Germany. I don't know about Germany, but Japan, baseball is big, you know, real big. And
that's like their biggest sport over there, right?
Yeah, but you know, what about Germany? So Germany never really picked it up. You know, I don't think baseball is that big, but we were there and the soldiers were playing it. Soccer, when you talk about, you know, things that in the United States, still today, do you know what sport, if you want to call, you know, I guess you call it a sport, but it was is the biggest money maker and most
today?
Viewed? Yeah, in the United
E-sports.
States.
Maybe in the United States.
Yeah. No, I still. Well, well, let me, no, let me no take I don't a guess. Think I, you might be right. It might be starting to get there, but before that,
PBA bowling.
No, no
money
joke.
Maker.
That was a joke.
NASCAR. NASCAR.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Nash.
You know, racing the cars.
Nash.
That is crazy.
But when you talk about, you know, what poor people, like, if you look at the sports, you know, like boxing back in the day, it was the, you know, the poor people, you know, I mean, the people who didn't have a lot of money. Football, you know, baseball, a lot of times it was the poor guys who went in there to make money, you know, and now it's a whole different story, but sports in the United States, I'm very sure soccer all around the world, it's big money. I mean, you got guys making, you know, tens of millions of dollars, and girls too. And so sports become big money.
And this is part of
now. Look,
this is part of what I'm going to get into.
How much money you're talking about with soccer now in
but
the world?
Yeah, I want to make a couple.
So again, talk about.
I
want to
make a couple more
about.
Points before I get into like the main topic about this this winter's World Cup, which starts on Sunday, the 20th of November.
Which is a new thing.
Which is a
World
new
Cups
thing, and
that's
something else we'll want to get to. But I want to, like, keep painting this picture of what the game means and what it should mean in the context of this tournament, because did you ever hear, Catchmar, that, so you know who Pele is.
Mm-hmm.
He was the biggest star in the world. He was like, he was Michael Jordan.
Pele
was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan. You know, then there was George Best before Jordan, but that's a whole different thing. Manchester United legend. I forget where it was. It was somewhere in Africa where there was like a real civil war going on. And Pele was set with Santos, his team that he played for in Brazil, to play a friendly over there. You know, like, that's what he did, right? He would travel the world and play these friendly matches with other clubs, which are basically matches that mean nothing, but they're just there for people to see Pele.
Right.
And they'd play these friendly matches. And in the middle of this civil war, these countries called, like, a five-day ceasefire just because Pele was coming to town to play soccer.
Yeah.
Another situation exactly like this, way more recent. I forget which World Cup it was. It was, I think it was either 06 or 010. Ivory Coast was in a civil war. Their greatest player of all time is a guy by the name of Didier Drogba. Like, absolutely incredible striker. Adam, a friend of the podcast, he's a Chelsea fan. He knows all about Drogba. Legendary, like one of the greatest goal scorers ever of all time. Played most of his career for Chelsea in the Premier League. He helped Ivory Coast qualify for the World Cup. They stopped fighting because their team was in the World Cup. This is how powerful soccer is. You know, you said it before.
The only
thing
I can liken that to is in the Revolutionary War when they stopped fighting for Christmas Day. Or
no, no, no. That was World War One on Christmas Day.
So Revolutionary War. Actually, Christmas.
Yeah, that's when George Washington crossed the Delaware,
I mean, they actually did the opposite. They hammered him.
That's when George Washington invented guerrilla tactics.
Yeah, they kicked the shit out of the Hessian soldiers, and they were all drunk after celebrating Christmas. But getting back with, you know, sports and helping people, you know, I mean, I don't think it really helped, like, the 34 or just the 38 Olympics, you know, in Nazi Germany. It didn't seem to slow Hitler down. But you know, sports can and does bring people together, but it also splits it. I mean, for all the good things about soccer you talk about, you know, I mean, I read these horrible things where people get crushed and everything. I don't know necessarily, that may be more crowd control, but generally speaking,
yeah,
you make a good point.
No, I mean, it's not all love, right? There's the dudes that beat the shit out of each other in the stands, and there's always Philly fans.
No, but if you look, goddamn Philly fans, you know?
Right, if you look at the Olympics, what it's done for the world, I think generally speaking, it's made a good thing. Look at the Special Olympics, too. I mean, we have the polar bear swim here in New Jersey.
I think there's one today.
But the big one that we have here in New Jersey in Seaside Heights now, they make, $2 million in one day event. I mean, I know they're collecting all year round. So it's really big. So sports is good. So let's get back to you. So what's this, the thing about the soccer now? What's so controversial? What's the big thing about this? Why is it in the winter now? And, you know, where is it? And what's going on? And
I know it's in the winter now because the country it's in, is it in Qatar? Is that the country?
Yeah, so that's like the first major issue.
Now,
yeah,
where is that country located for people?
The Middle East.
Where? What's it next to? What's it surrounded by, you guys?
We can pull up a map. It's in the summer because it's in the Middle East. Because, you good?
Sorry about that.
Because it's so hot in the Middle East, obviously, so they had to rearrange the schedule, which interfered with a bunch of European tournaments.
When they decided to have it in this country, at that time, did they change? No, time.
So countries,
they never knew that it was going to be hot there.
I'm sure Todd will talk about this.
Yeah,
but countries bid on the World Cup and when they get to have it.
Right.
And they won, obviously. We'll find out. So they had to rearrange when the World Cup is because it takes place because it's so hot in Qatar.
Yes.
And which interferes with European tournaments that are currently happening because 13 of the 30 teams in
Sean brushed Europe, up on this shit. Yeah, or you've just been like actually listening to me when I rant about this
I've
stuff.
Been listening. 13 of the 30 teams in the World Cup are in European tournaments right now. So they have to now pause those tournaments just to have the tournament happen months later than it usually does.
But wait, but they knew this 10 years ago when they first got the bid.
Yeah. So
okay. So why? What's the big crunch? They should have been planning. They had 10 years to plan for it.
I'm gonna.
They've been building.
I'm gonna like
10 years. I mean, is this a poor country?
No, Kashmir. It's one of the richest oil countries in the world, and they built a city for this.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So well, that's good. I just want to
context.
Yeah. Contextualize this with just like I am like so pissed off about this. Because some of my greatest memories ever are like Landon Donovan scoring a last second goal against Algeria in the 2010 World Cup and like my entire school erupting.
Right.
It was like my grandmother called me. She's like, did you see that goal? Dude, it was the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. And now this game that we all love, the whole world loves so much and represents the people that. What it should represent is the people that don't have shit that are just playing in the streets and they look to this tournament, this World Cup, for like inspiration, for like a bit of comfort, for something. And when you find out the dirty shit that has been done to make this happen, the filthy money that's been
spent.
What
is the dirty shit?
Well, for starters, as you've already pointed out or alluded to, they straight up bought this World Cup.
What do you mean they bought
so,
it?
So, like Sean, Sean pointed out, every World Cup starts with a bid.
Yeah, okay.
A potential host nation puts together what they call a bid package, and they present it to FIFA. And that's a process of several years where they present the bid package, you know, they do several presentations, and then eventually FIFA officials come out to the country, and they see the locations, they talk to the people in charge, all that good stuff.
Where was it last year?
It's not everywhere.
Last one was in Russia, which there's also questions about. Before that, it was Brazil. Before that, it was South Africa. Before that, it was Germany.
So
2002,
so
it was
recently
Japan.
This is happening.
Okay.
Okay. So
go ahead. So I'm, you know,
you put your together your bid. FIFA comes out. They check out whatever. Yeah. Do you have the infrastructure? Is your country big enough? You know. The United States.
Which Qatar is not. Qatar has a population under 3 million.
Okay, so go ahead. So I still don't see what your bitch is, but go ahead. Tell me.
We'll get there. The United States,
I don't see
right?
It. Yeah.
They put together a bid for that tournament.
Okay.
If you look around right now, you could host the FIFA World Cup in the tri-state area at the drop of the dime tomorrow. Okay. Infrastructure can handle it.
Okay.
Hotels.
Are we scheduled anytime soon?
We're hosting the next World Cup, 2026.
Okay.
Infrastructure can handle it. Hotels, stadiums, everything. We have everything you need to host a World Cup like that.
Well, then we'll get it next year then.
We had the strongest bid. Qatar, like Sean said, it's not a soccer country. They have a very, very weak professional league.
Okay.
Like 1,000 people show up to games.
Right.
They don't have the infrastructure.
Tell them about the labor.
We're gonna
He's not. Yeah, but he needs to know.
But it starts with how they got the World Cup. This is not a country meant to hold a World Cup. This is a country where it's 120 degrees in the summer. It's not big enough, like Sean pointed out. 3 million people in the whole country.
Less than.
They're expecting an additional million people to come to the World Cup. They're just not big enough to host the tournament. But what do they have under them? Oil, right? They have that dirty oil money.
Right.
So...
I like oil. When the FIFA officials, I wish I had some.
Yeah, me too. Actually,
when the FIFA officials come to Qatar, you know, they take them around, they show them some nice places, and they go, "Hey, here's a couple mil if you vote for us."
There was a payoff.
There was
big time payoff.
So they got caught.
To be,
did they get caught? Was they prosecuted?
They got
convicted of bribery.
2010. They get the World Cup. Everyone knows they get the 2022. They're awarded the 2020.
Okay.
The questions immediately start. This has to be a bribe. They can't hold this World Cup in the summer. Qatar's like, it's fine. We'll air condition the stadiums.
We could afford it.
No, they literally said, we're gonna air condition the stadiums. It'll be fine.
Okay.
People start looking into it.
All right.
Within the next couple years, it's pretty much like, FIFA was bribed. We know this. People talked.
Okay.
Sepp Blatter, who was the president of FIFA at the time, removed from his position.
Okay.
But nothing changed.
Okay.
Right? They dropped the hammer. Nothing changed.
Okay.
they start building the World Cup. Like I said, there's like no infrastructure for this.
So
they have to build an entire subway system, an entire tram system, stadiums, hotels, everything.
Right.
They build a city for the World Cup.
Yeah, okay.
They literally build a city for the World Cup.
But the way they build the city for the World Cup is labor that they're importing from other countries.
Right.
And these are people that have nothing that are willing to go to Qatar from Africa.
Right.
Asia, all around the world.
Yeah.
Just to create opportunity for themselves, and
like what we did in Panama with the people from
with the canal.
Yeah,
didn't the canal. They all die from malaria?
That was the French. Yeah, we got them from Barbados. But anyway, go ahead.
So
that's honestly a good comparison.
Just like building the railroad in the United States with the Chinese, slave labor pretty much. But go ahead. I digress. Or even better, the slaves that we brought over here to pick the cotton.
Yes,
but
So we got to build these stadiums.
So you're upset.
And we're going to need a lot of workers.
Well, the world is upset. This is like all over the world.
So we put the job posting out to India and Bangladesh and all those countries over there.
Qatar does. We don't.
Yeah, I am Qatar right now.
They got all these people come.
Say you're a migrant worker, right? You're like, oh, babe, family back home.
Okay,
I just got offered this awesome job. They're paying me $30 an hour and benefits, and I'm gonna be getting overtime. And they're giving me a place to live too.
I watched an interview where a guy was flown into Qatar. Upon landing, took a bus to the work site and began his first 12-hour shift the day he landed.
Right.
To work there through the summer of Qatar, which is too hot to play soccer games, but not. For these immigrants,
did they pay him?
What happened?
So what happened? So get to the punchline here. You're killing me. The suspense is killing me.
Exactly.
I want to know what happened.
You get to Qatar,
right?
Your family thinks you're going to be sending back money,
right?
Your job manager rips up your passport, rips up your contract, puts you in a storage container, a hot storage container. That's where you're living with like 8 other guys.
Yeah.
You're in your mid 30s. They're working you so hard that one day you come home, you go back to that storage container and you have a heart attack and die.
Yeah.
And that's happened to over 6,000 people building these stadiums.
That's no good.
Yeah, 6,000
pretty bad.
People.
Yeah. Okay. So,
right. Even like not even worse than that, but the people that do make it, when they get home, they can't even afford to pay the expenses that it took them to get there to do the job.
Okay. So I understand this is tragedy.
Soccer teams have been boycotting. What's the issue? Well, they're threatening to boycott, but like there's so much money in the works with this country that Tyler, who's the guy who spoke out against them, but now is on their broadcast station.
I was going to get to this later, but we could definitely point this stuff out now. So there, I have a whole bunch of issues with how this has been handled, right? With the fact that FIFA's like, put sanctions on Qatar and they're fixing it, or the fact that Qatar, every time a journalist goes over there to try to find out what's going on, they arrest them or kick them out of the country or tell them to stop filming. Or, the deaths of the workers or all that. Or the fact that, FIFA hasn't been punished itself. My main issue is, this type of stuff that Sean's talking about. The lack of...
What did this guy do? Who is this guy?
The lack of people willing to stand up and say, this disgusts me. This is not what the game stands for. So we have a good example is an ex-Manchester United and England player, Gary Neville. When all this conversation started back in, let's say 2014. He came out and he said, this is disgusting. We need to boycott this World Cup. Like, I'm going to be the first one to call this stuff out. And everyone rallied around him. They're like, yeah, finally someone doing it. You know what he did like a couple weeks ago?
Mm-mm.
He released a documentary where he went around Qatar with Qatari officials and, showed off all the stadiums and how great the stadiums were.
Yeah.
And then signed a deal with beIN Sports that's owned by Qatar to do commentary of the tournament.
Yeah.
And when asked about that, he was on a talk show and the host asked him, don't you think this is a little messed up that you did this? And he goes, oh, I can still highlight the problems. And the guy's like, when? On the broadcast? Well, welcome to welcome to the World Cup Qatar, the human rights abusers. Yeah. And now we have your England starting lineup. Yeah. He's not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and the fake, what people would call virtue signaling that teams are doing, right? You have teams saying, oh, we have to speak up for human rights. Well, you're still playing in the tournament. So what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You're still benefiting off of the backs of all these people. You know, the United States, it breaks my heart that I'm like pissed off at our national team, but the United States, they have they did a rainbow badge to support LGBTQ plus, because that's also a whole nother issue in Qatar, which they're not wearing on match day. It's just their training kits. And they had a training session with the migrant workers that fucking survived.
Right.
Kessler, England did the same.
Well, Kessler, what do you think about this?
Well, I can tell you a couple of things. I heard what's really going to shut it down is they're not allowing any beer.
And I was going to get to that too.
Listen about this. The fucking workers.
Allowing beer. It's just so incredibly expensive per can.
I'll tell you what I think about it. Here's the thing. Here's the funny thing. I'm so upset about this. I am not going to watch the World Cup.
You weren't going to watch the World Cup before.
Yeah, you weren't going to watch the World
that
Cup.
You don't know that.
I know that.
But here's the thing. I'm not going to watch it. And here's the other thing. It's been going on for years. The World Cup down, you mentioned, in Brazil. You know what they did? The Brazilian government?
Oh, they're slow down.
They went down. They put cameras all around. They looked for all the bad guys. They went in, and they freaking killed them. They assassinated them. They made sure there was no crime going on. Russia? What do you think? I mean, Putin? They did the same thing. Cameras all around. Saw who was going to disrupt the games. Took them out in the woods and fucking shot them. It was like, I remember Putin saying, "Going, there won't be any trouble here." Oh no. You know. So listen, this is good because here's something that you're passionate about, and you're seeing the injustices of the world. What about all the NBA players who are fucking going over to China, and China's the worst rights everywhere in the world? But you know what? They're making big money. There are. And you know what? And same thing in this country. How many people have bought this country out because of money and greed? And, you know, so
I just find it.
You make a good point because but this is one of those things. And you know what? You have in life, soccer, wherever, somewhere along the line, you may have to put draw a line in the sand and decide what's important for you or not. If you feel so upset about it or these other people, then fucking don't go play there or don't watch it.
Yeah, but the only way it will change if people don't watch it, which is not going to happen.
And this is the thing. And
then
this
nothing's
going to
change then. So everybody's part of the problem.
This is why it's so fucking sickening because it's like...
Tyler, are you going to watch the World Cup?
Dude, like...
Yeah,
he's going to watch it, but he's not going to be happy.
No. I'll tell you what, dude.
He's going to be really upset.
He's going to be really upset that they're not wearing the LGBT pins, right. But you're going to watch it. No, but seriously, like that's the problem with everybody.
Go ahead. He's getting upset.
I still don't know if I'm going to watch it.
You're conflicted.
No, because like I know for a fact if I do watch it, I'm going to feel guilty. I know for a fact that if the United States wins it, I'm going to feel sad.
Yeah, no one should watch it. Like, if this is this big of a problem, like, why? The only way it'll stop is if people don't do these things.
Yeah, this is why it's so twisted, is that...
People care about soccer.
FIFA knows we'll watch.
Yeah.
They don't care.
But with that mindset, everyone's going to keep watching.
Let me drill down on something here,
because I just want to ask you.
I've had people, like... Because I've been outspoken about this since the day they got awarded the World Cup.
No.
And I've had people say, like, dude, you're so right. Like, this is so sickening.
But let me,
I'm still going to watch.
Let me go back. Let me ask you this.
It's like...
Qatar is this country. I guess they're a Muslim-based, Arab country.
Yes.
Very conservative. Okay, very conservative. And I don't know anything about them, so I don't want to...
I think, brief history, like, recently discovered oil was on their land, became very rich very quickly.
Okay, mm-hmm. But here's my point. Why were they doing that? If they're so wealthy and they could build stadiums and... You know, why would they treat the people like this?
Soccer is a great way to wash your money.
It's cash market.
Why are they treating people like shit, though?
It's cost effective for the building if no one cares. No one really is doing anything besides complaining.
They don't have any human rights there.
I'm going to put it into perspective.
So there's no human. There's no like civil rights there. Like in the United States, if you
Cashmere, no.
So that's the bottom line.
Cashmere, in Qatar, women still need a man to buy a car, get divorced, okay, to agree to okay. it.
So it's
all right, here's another reason.
Right, I got Cash. You.
No, no,
got
here's
you.
Another reason.
So it's a third. It's a, you know, it's
here's
a,
another
it's,
reason why they
yeah,
did
no,
this.
No, it became very rich very quickly.
Look at that number. The Qatar cost $220 billion. That's more than the previous 10 World Cups combined.
Because they had to do all the infrastructure.
$220 billion to put this tournament on. Imagine if they were paying people a fair wage, what that number would look like.
Yeah, I don't know if that really made a difference. It's, you know, I mean, no, the wages are one thing, but, you know, you got to pay for all that infrastructure. I mean, the cement, the steel, the computers. I mean, a lot of people made a lot of money, I bet you that.
And you know, we're talking about, like, the conservative stuff. This is put out by Qatar, right?
So let me see.
And I'll read this out loud for listeners. Reflect your respect to the religion and culture of Qatari people by avoiding these behaviors. And this is for at the FIFA World Cup. Drinking alcohol.
People on the Spotify can't see it. But just
that's
so
why I'm reading it
so,
out.
But say what it is. There's a cross that says this is what's not allowed.
Yes. Drinking alcohol, homosexuality, immodesty. And it's a woman's legs showing. Profanity, not respecting places of worship, loud music and sounds, dating, taking people's pictures without their permission. This is the FIFA
dating?
World Cup.
Dating?
This is supposed to be the biggest party in the world every four years.
Slow down. I mean, I never knew that. What's wrong with dating, like, in a Muslim world?
They might have arranged it. I don't know.
No, I can't meet Sean at a bar and, like, hook up with him. Minus the,
well, that's
not,
that's
minus both, the
no, that's
that
two things.
Well,
that's homosexuality. Wait. Here, listen. If you meet Sean at a bar and you're wearing, like, cut-off shorts, so now you have homosexuality, immodesty, dating, and if it's a loud bar, loud music.
No, Casper, I think a woman.
And if it's on a holy day, it's not respecting worship. And if you have a beer, it's alcohol.
Cash,
you just broke seven of the.
I think.
And what if you break these things? What happens? You get executed? Like, what's the?
You go to jail.
Like hard, like, yeah. Oh man.
I think dating refers to a woman cannot be meeting a man without another man representing her to meet the new man.
Wow.
Like her dad
lot.
Or her yeah. brother.
What if, and taking pictures, yeah. So you'd be fucked on it. You go there, you'd be last about. So who would fuck wants to go there?
Well, this, okay.
Why
so
would you want to go world, to a yeah, soccer I mean, game? First of all, you can't drink. You can't fuck around. You can't listen to music. You can't take a fucking picture. I mean, the Japanese are not going to go there. Yeah, I don't fuck. I mean, no. But who's gonna, you know? I mean,
oh my god,
who's gonna go there?
Playing baseball, man.
Who's gonna go there? I wouldn't go there. You guys are crazy.
Well, no,
first of all,
okay,
I wouldn't watch it on.
So
you know what? I'd boycott.
Cup,
boycott it. It's not gonna be that hard to boycott. You go there, you're gonna wind up in jail anyway.
The World Cup is meant
and no beer
to be a celebration of the world's culture.
Well, you ain't.
What they're asking is that you come here and you obey all of our rules. That's what they said.
You know
what
would be a great fuck?
One of the direct representatives of the tournament was asked a direct question, like, you're like, I can't come here with my husband?
Yeah.
And he was we just asked that you respect the Qatari laws.
You know what
like,
I would say?
Fuck
you know what
off,
I'm saying? You know
dude.
What? I'm not going to live. You know what? You ask me what I think about it. I tell you what, I'm not going to live on my knees. I tell them, go fuck themselves. Excuse my language. Yeah. I'm not going to go
and
there.
I
will not go there. Because they don't respect, you know, I mean, you know, this is not my world. This is not my world religion. This is not what I believe in. So I wouldn't go there. Watch it on TV, that's up to you. If you know, they abuse people, I wouldn't watch it on TV. Now, you know, who's it going to hurt not watch on TV? Are they going to
ideally, the only way it would hurt anybody is if no one watched it on TV.
Right. And people, you know, like you said, unfortunately, people are going to watch stuff.
Yeah, people
you
are
going
to watch
maybe,
it. Fans are going to
watch
it.
I watched the thing with South Africa, you know, apartheid. And there was all kinds of superstars going there and playing nightclubs there and playing stadiums. It was a big thing. You can make a lot of money. And then it started to slowly, you know, turn. You know, let's boycott. Paul Simon had a big thing there, you know, his one album. And, you know, finally apartheid, you know, got dumped. I think there's a bigger issue here. And this is, you know, the Muslim world and they're no, but this is what they believe. So listen, I would say this is what they believe. They have the right to believe that. I think their religion, you know, they're very religious people and they care about it. I'm not going to trash. Yeah. That's their, they believe that Jesus Christ was a great prophet. So I'm not going to criticize them. I'm just saying, then don't go there. I mean, if that's, you know, either, I understand you get upset saying, oh, they're going to do all of this. And, you know, we're making a joke and everything, but that's their law. And if that's what they want,
you know, if you came to America, you'd have to respect American laws, which is more open.
I'm going to say like this: they have all the rights to do what they want to do. I don't know about how they treated the workers because I wasn't there, and I don't know. I didn't research it.
I have a graph for
you know,
too.
But point is though is that you know there's nothing. Yeah, see, Myra died. You know,
6,500 migrant workers died since Qatar was named World Cup host. Deaths of South Asian migrants in Qatar from 2011 to late 2020 by nationality. Yeah. India, 2007 and 111. Nepal, 1,641. Right. Bangladesh, 1,018. Pakistan, 824. Right. Sri Lanka, 557. I want people to remember. It's small, dude.
Right, right.
I want people to remember. These aren't like old men. These are guys in like their 30s.
Right, right, right.
Well, listen, dying of heart attacks and exhaustion.
I understand that, and it's a tragedy. But, you know, the other stuff, too, about what they allow and don't allow, if I went to that country, I would follow their rules. I would know that going in there. I would not, you know, disrespect their country and their religion and all of that. I would not do that because I wouldn't want that, to, you know, for them to disrespect
mine. Yeah, the opposing argument to celebrating the world's culture is when you visit the country to, like, appease it.
Well, that's fine, but you're welcome. It's a different situation. Why? You're welcoming because you're welcoming the world into your
yeah,
country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, right? No, because
I'm not gonna welcome the world into my home and then be like, you're gay. I don't fuck with that. Get out. Oh, you're showing too much legs.
But,
get out.
But here's
I'm not gonna ask the world to change when I'm hosting the World Cup.
No, but here's the thing, though.
I'm not loading it.
The argument you're like you're. This is the country that it's hosting the World Cup. So they want people, if you come to watch the games, to live their life while you're there. Which, like, yeah, so, like, so, like,
but
I
here's
have
the thing,
disagreements
though.
With.
Right, right.
But that's the World Cup.
So, but what's your bitch, though? Here's the thing.
We disagree on what the World Cup is meant to be. But here's the thing, though.
You got two issues.
I think you can still celebrate from home. But here's the thing.
You're talking about two different issues. And split them up. First of all, is how they treated the workers. Okay, that sounds to me. That's the main issue. Right, right.
This would be, as far as
the religious and that, you got to respect the country. I mean, that's their religion, and I'm not going to. You know, you can't make them. I don't think that's right to make them change the way they. You know,
well, the thing is, they did make exceptions, and then they walked them back.
No, they signed a tens of millions of dollar deal with
Budweiser to be the official alcohol sponsor.
And they didn't want
then
that.
Then they just this morning announced no booze in the stadiums, and they're allowing them in what they're calling fan zones.
Okay.
But they also
okay.
They the tournament organizers got a call from the president of Qatar or whatever they call that person, and it was basically like. Put those tents where people can't find them.
Yeah. I can tell you right now, if you go there as a fan and you break any of these rules.
These fan zones are supposed to be wild. Like,
that's
they sound like there's going to be awesome.
And this is the thing. Like, you can't expect people to.
No, do this at a World Cup. I'm very sure it's too big of an ask.
No, but it's going to happen in these fan zones. These fan zones sound like just anarchy, just like
right.
This,
well,
these
right. Well, let's get into that because
they might let
no,
it.
No, they're in the zones they provided.
Because you've heard of the Fyre Festival.
Yeah.
You might not have, but I'm sure a bunch of our listeners have. Basically, it's this amazing music festival on an island that was supposed to be being held, and then when people got there, they were like, they were sleeping in like catering tents, those were their accommodations, right? So look at this. The places people are going to be staying.
Yeah, this is for tourists, Cashmore. This isn't for workers.
Yeah, I'm very sure they're having internal fights.
This one right here, this is.
I'm very sure they're having internal fights because, you know, the people who are very religious, I know, I have friends who are Muslims. They're offended. You know, I mean, I don't blame them. I mean, they have their religion. You have to respect people's religious rights, even if you don't agree with them. You know, you may not agree with me. You know, I mean, like Christians, you know, we're against abortion. We're against, you know, I mean, it goes on.
Some of what they are asking of people is a bit egregious, but.
But that's their law, man. You can't, then don't go there.
And, you know, you guys are right about that, right?
What is this?
So this is an image of what it's supposed to look like. This is like one of the fan villages where, as Sean pointed out, you're supposedly going to be able to have alcohol. However, if Sean thinks it's going to be anarchy, I kind of agree with him.
You stay there.
So this is where you're going to stay. This is how it was pitched. Look how it looked like less than a month ago.
Oh, but they could finish it. I mean, you know, it's pretty. I mean, it looks pretty
so
close.
So that's not less than a month ago. This okay, is it, well, like this week.
Yeah, but I mean,
did you see any grass?
No, but I mean, listen. I mean, how long are you going to be there? How long is the how long is the thing
these
for?
These cost about €200 per night, by the way.
No, but how long is the thing going to be for?
It's a month.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. To be fair, €200 a night.
€200 a night. Wow. Now, to point out,
well, that's not too
it's
bad.
Like
there are other options that's for fans. Bad. This is the worst case scenario for a fan.
But they're going to allow.
They are bringing in cruise.
But
ships.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this though. I'm not kidding around. I'm not making a joke. Go back to the other thing. You know, all the things you can't do. All the things you can't do. So in other words, in these centers, can you do any of these things?
I believe so.
You can fuck. You can drink.
You could be a homo, sexual. You could be drinking alcohol.
You can do gay stuff.
Loud music, dating, all of that. All right. Well, then what's the beef then? They're making an accommodation. So they're not. You know, you're telling me respect our religion. But if you have these areas that they cordon off, so what's wrong with that? That's they're accommodating. Oh, I don't stand where the bitch is. Other than we're getting back to the main problem. Then is
now,
they treat the workers shitty.
Okay. Here's my main problem with this. My main problem with this is a logistical problem. Okay. Because you guys, I'll concede that this stuff is far less important than the migrant workers.
Okay.
But this is also something that, on top of the migrant workers, like is going to piss people off a little more. However, if this was
the
only issue.
Stop 1 second. The migrant workers, too, you know, I mean, how many people, I mean, was that proven for sure? Like, they didn't die?
Yeah, those numbers are low.
Yeah, that number is low.
It's under.
Okay.
That's, like, the official number. And then I'm going to read Qatar's statement on that in a couple minutes. Yeah. But I just want to point out something about the amount of people coming in and staying in these fan zones. Doha is a very small city of about 2.2 million people.
Where is this?
This is the city in Qatar. This is the capital of Qatar, Doha. They're holding the entire tournament in this city. 32 teams and all their fans.
Right.
In a city whose population is about 2.4 million.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
They're expecting a million plus people to come for the tournament. For comparison, and this is anecdotal. This is a story that was spoken about on a podcast I'll actually recommend when we start wrapping things up about all this.
Mm-hmm.
This woman stayed in St. Petersburg during the Russia World Cup. And St. Petersburg is a city of about 4 million people, St. Petersburg, Russia. And they were hosting four teams. And she said that infrastructure of St. Petersburg was struggling to accommodate all of the traffic.
Oh, so you need police, you need hospital, you need.
We have a city built for 2 million, 2.4 million that's expected to accommodate an extra million people like that.
Yeah, but they've been planning this for 10 years,
People are really, really worried that it's not going to work out. They built a subway system. They're telling people, do not drive. If you want to get a car, it's going to cost you like $1,400 or €1,400. Right, I forget which one. Right. And they have a tram system.
Right.
But you're going to have people going. These games are all day, every day. You're going to have people crisscrossing. Like, it's going to be.
You know what?
Out of control.
You know, here's the thing. And I understand that. But you know what? I just wouldn't go there. It sounds like if it's going to be such
a
shit
show,
then don't go. Watch it on TV. You know, as far as the workers, I think that's tragic. I don't know exactly what happened there. If I was the government, I would be so pissed at that because, you know, come on. Why? You know, treat people as human beings. I can tell you what, I have friends who worked in the United Emirates and they're foreigners and they said they were treated, you know, very, very well. I mean, you had to follow their laws and rules, you know, and if you, you know, went against it, you know, they bounced you out of there. But I don't know. You know,
let's.
I don't know what to tell you.
Let me read
one.
Some of Qatar's official statements.
Yeah, again, I want
to
hear what they have
to
say.
The migrant worker situation. In a speech last month, this is from ESPN, and then the next one I'm going to read is from The Guardian, I believe. In a speech last month, Emir Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani said that Qatar said that Qatar, quote, has been subjected to an unprecedented campaign that no host country has ever faced. The campaign tends to continue and expand to include fabrications and double standards that were so ferocious that it has unfortunately promoted many people to question the real reasons and motives.
What is he allegating?
He's basically allegating that everyone's making it up.
But why though? Why were they making it up?
I don't know.
I mean, why don't you know?
Why would anyone make this shit up?
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. See, I don't have enough. You know.
Like I don't see any. Let me agenda
where, so where that. When was it? So after you know Brazil, Russia, where was it before that? The cup, like has it ever been in the Middle East before?
No,
never been in the Middle East.
No, because it's a June July tournament. It's just never been possible to do it there.
Okay, but and they switched. Like, so they gave them. So here's the thing.
But listen, I'm fine. Like, I'm fine with it being held in the Middle East. I'm fine with it being what's the a weather? Winter World Cup. Not at this cost, though.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, I'm fine with like mingling cultural rules a little bit and, you know, the rest of the world conceding some and Qatar conceding some so we can all learn from each other, but not at this cost.
Yeah.
You understand? Like, it's just this puts such a black mark on everything I love about soccer. It's just, it's fucking
well,
gross.
I guess.
Hold on. Let me keep reading these quotes. Yeah, because. So this is from The Guardian. World Cup 2022, Qatar, this is the title, Qatar is ready as it strongly contests accusations of workers' rights abuses. This is from July 2021. Each stadium in Qatar has been built with the help of an army of workers coming from abroad, many of whom hail from South Asia and parts of Africa, and the small Gulf country has gone on a media offensive following several reports alleging egregious mistreatment and abuse. Hassan Al-Thawadi, is that the guy from before? I don't think so. The man in charge of leading the event's preparations said that the Guardian's 6,500 worker fatalities figure was inherently misleading. FIFA and the Qatari Supreme Committee have always maintained transparency around these fatalities, FIFA said, adding that the Supreme Committee investigates every work-related incident.
Well, listen.
So they're just deflecting. They're saying, we looked into it.
So again, you brought this up, so if you ask me, Here's why I look at it, is that, you know, I don't know why these people died. I mean, is there a dispute that they didn't die? They're saying that the 6,500 people
they
died.
At this point, they're pretty over much what not
time frame?
It.
Over what time frame?
The 10, 12 years since they were awarded the World Cup.
So how many, slow down,
with that amount of people working for that long.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, a lot of people have diabetes. They have a heat stroke. I mean, it may have been just normal attrition. 10 years having millions and millions of people work. And 6,500 of them croaked, I mean, died. They might have died anyway. In other words, maybe something that you guys are going. I mean, that's 6,500 over 10 years.
Let's do some quick math.
How many millions of people work there, you know?
Let's do some quick math.
So, I mean, I just say you might be getting a little bit, you know, fired up because
you
can't drink.
Yeah, what do you mean quick maths?
Yeah, well, it's just like what's the average, you know, in a million people over 10 years, how many are expected to die? I would say probably 10%.
Oh, I like this. Did anyone die building the Empire State Building?
That's not.
What?
Don't ask about that. Say, take a million people over 10 years, what's just the normal percentage of people who will die from natural causes?
I bet you could find Empire State Building easily.
Yeah, but you can't. That's not. It wasn't 10 years to build an Empire State Building.
No, 10 years. It's just a comparison.
It's not necessarily to work.
What? That's exactly what it is.
Cashmore, it's just a comparison.
Five workers died during the
construction. But it's not a conspiracy.
That was under 1 year.
They built it in like 18 months, I think. It was pretty crazy.
But you're talking about worker, you know, here's the thing. Panama Canal, when they were the French built it, they failed. 20,000 people died from malaria and yellow fever.
Yeah, that doesn't sound okay. That sounds like a project that should have been planned better.
Well, they didn't know how to eradicate mosquitoes, malaria. They didn't know where it came from. I understand that. But my point is that go Google real quick for me, say, a million people.
How about this?
In 10 years, what's the average death rate of a million people over a 10-year period? And if it's like 5%, what's 5%? That's, 1%?
That's more than, that would be
more than 6,000.
Right. So 1%, 10,000 people.
Yeah, 1%.
It might be that they actually.
Our dreams never came true. These men helped build Qatar's World Cup. Migrant workers are the Qatar World Cup's forgotten team. Families, it's just so convenient that the news outlets are just now talking about this. Like,
you know, it might have been
too late.
Listen, you know, maybe there was maybe there was terrible.
It's too late.
Yeah, maybe there was poor working conditions. I don't know.
How much did it cost?
Can you?
Over a 10-year period.
Look up Qatar, the city that this World Cup's taking place in.
Doha.
Yeah.
You could bitch about it, but you have to put it in perspective. And really,
images too.
You know, is it? I mean, they could. You know, people die. I mean, they could have been accidents. How many of them died from a cement truck falling on them? You know, workman's comp stuff. I mean, workman's related injuries. How many of them, you know, had poor health to begin with? Maybe the heat did play a big part, and they tried to do to, you know, mitigate.
So this is a 10-year-old city right here.
Wow, they built all of that. Huh? Wow, 10 years. Beautiful.
I don't know if this is. I don't think that's.
I think
real.
It is. No, that's the ending.
It's the final stadium.
And when there's fireworks in the middle, it looks like a ball of holding flames.
And these are stadiums that, just like every Olympics, they're just gonna go derelict. You know.
Well, hey, listen. That's one
thing they're claiming, Cashmore, is a zero emissions from all
you know,
of this.
You know, here's you know, if you want you want to look at another point of view, there's people in the United States, there's people in India, there's people all around the world don't have enough food to eat. They live like dogs.
Yeah, yeah. And instead, we're spending $220 million billion on this.
I would have spent I would have got a field, put some grass on it, give you a soccer ball here, knock yourself out.
If you build it, they will come.
So, damn, you know, straight. That's another whole thing. I mean, how much money was spent in Russia and in Brazil? I mean, you know, how, listen.
That's the thing. We showed that graph before. Let's go back to it. Russia, $11.6 billion. Brazil, $15 billion. South Africa, $3.6 billion. Germany, $4.3 billion. South Korea and Japan, that's actually high.
Yeah, look at the United States. We're the cheap half bastards. Million. We're smart. We're businessmen.
So, you know, like.
And no workers died. No animals were injured. No animals were injured doing this. Listen, I understand you're pissy about it. To me, I don't know. I mean, I think you got to relax. I think it was terrible. I think it sounded to me like they didn't really respect the workers, or maybe they did. Maybe it was just over 10 years. The working, environment's a rough. It's a rough. What's the temperature there in the summer?
Like hot 20.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's a rough area. Maybe these people knew what they're. You know, they didn't. Maybe they didn't know what they're getting into. I don't know. Maybe when they got there, they wanted to leave.
It's so hot there that the England team.
Yeah,
because they're there, doing training sessions now. Couldn't even train yesterday.
Right.
Because they got so hot.
But you know, for me, as far as the other stuff, you know, what they don't allow in that country, you know, they're religious. Listen, I don't agree with that, but I do agree that that's their country, and if you don't want to abide by their laws, don't go there. That's it. Just don't go there. You know, and if you're the players,
113.
Yeah,
that's the average.
Yeah, in the summer.
Damn.
You know.
I think the high is like then it has to be 120.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But
sure.
It sounds like the country is accommodating, and having these zones where you don't have to follow their strict laws. That's more or less
speculation by me or in Tyler.
Is their country saying that?
They are allowing beer in these fan zones, and like there are also places.
But what about everything else?
What about a big screen?
So we're more or less assuming if they're allowing beer.
Well, don't assume that. Are they? I mean, can you get arrested for homosexuality or taking pictures? Or so at a soccer game, you can't take a picture or I don't know, you know.
That is the question. So, you know, people are afraid of like what is
there. There was a reporter, a Danish reporter, like 2 days ago that was just doing like a normal report in front of a stadium. And an official came up to him and said, stop filming.
Yeah.
Another English reporter was taking a picture of just the official World Cup slogan on like a building. They made him delete the picture.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if they really even care if anybody comes there. I mean, you know, they're hosting it. I mean, the players
people
are going to
come
there. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey. Yeah. In this situation here, I think it's just, business as usual, unfortunately. You're dealing with different worldviews, different people, you know, and that's what you have to, if you want to play in the world, if you want to be, you know, if you want to have, stay in the United States, you know, and then.
Well, annoys me about
the rest of the world is not going to be what we're going to be.
What annoys me about teams coming out with like their protests. Like there's only one protest you can do. Like you said, don't participate.
Go. Yeah.
Don't play.
That's it.
And what this would have taken was a major figure, a coach, a star player. Christian Pulisic, Cristiano Ronaldo coming out and saying, you know what? I'm not going to do this. Yeah,
that's a tough
one. But they won't because it's been their dream their whole life to play in the World Cup. They're not going to give that dream up that they worked their whole life for.
Yeah.
It's every fan's dream for their country to win the World Cup. They're not going to not watch the World Cup. Yeah. And they knew this.
Right.
They knew that no matter how obvious it was still going to happen. They were still going to get their money. People were still going to get paid.
But here's the thing:
they did it.
But here's the other thing:
it's the saddest thing.
But you don't know. Listen, I would hold your judgment at this point because let's just say during the World Cup and every, and then the winners, they go up on a podium or something, and they basically say F you to Qatar, you know, like they did in the Olympics where they said, you know, we don't agree with this or we don't agree with that. It could become very political, you know, so you don't know.
Well, there may that's be, what I'm hoping
You know, maybe what's going to happen is that, the, you know, because I would say if I was, a, you know, in this situation, I might say, listen, I'm going to go there and play. You know, I'm not going to let them beat me. I don't agree with that their stuff. But at the end, you know, I'll say something. Or, you know, I think that happened with the last Olympics. And, you know, China, there was some, you know, consternation of, mm-hmm. Of their, you know, society. So, but you can't, you know, you have to be real careful here. There's so many moving parts here. I think that the workers, 6,000 people over 10 years, how many millions of workers were there?
Over a million.
Right. So I'm not so sure that's like, you know, oh, my God. I'd have to look at each one, like they said, and I wouldn't go just jumping by, you know, the fact that 6,500 people died.
This is Qatar's statement on that.
That might be
the mortality rate among these communities is within the expected range for the size and demographics of the population over nearly a decade.
And it might have been some people who died, you know, working. There might have been some industrial accidents, you know, and that happens in the United States. I mean, you get people die every day doing their work. So I'm not defending them. Don't get me wrong. I'm not defending them, but I'm just saying is I don't think that's that, you know, crazy. If that was like 6 months of workers there, you know, a couple thousand, you know, 20,000 went and 6,500 died, I'd be like, whoa. You know, as far as their rules and regulations, listen, if it's a Muslim country, that's what they believe. Then that you can't make a country, you go against their religion. That's not, you know, that's, you can't do that. That's not right. I don't think that's right. I mean, just don't respect it. And if you don't want to follow their rules, don't go. I mean, so I don't have too much beef with what they're doing. It sounds like they spent a lot of money and a lot of time to make a beautiful, beautiful event. If they're going to capitulate and give you guys a place to people to go, like this big center, and let everything, you know, look the other way, I don't know how much more you could ask
if this,
for.
If, all right, let me you just ask, I, you. Let I, me I, ask you this. Let I, me ask you, know, you this. If I think this is if this is normal for this many people to die putting this together,
yeah.
Why has this never been brought up about another World Cup or another Olympics?
They weren't building a city.
Well, maybe how long
they
did it take?
Dude.
How long did it take China?
Built some crazy
How long did it take China to build all of that? I don't know. And how many people did die? You may not know.
What was
know?
The last,
I'm just saying, why was it not a scandal for those tournaments?
Well, I can tell you, they killed Olympics. A lot. I'm sorry.
Was Brazil?
Sochi, wasn't it?
No, listen, Russia, I heard Russia was brutal. Yeah. Putin went in there. There was these gangs who said they were going to disrupt the World Cup and everything. All of a sudden, they disappeared off the face of the earth. There was allegations.
I remember that kind of.
They took them in the woods and shot. Brazil, I...
Was that the last Olympics, Brazil?
Yeah. No, I don't know if it was the Olympics or the World Cup. I forget now. And I know in Brazil, what they did, whatever it was... They went in, and it was interesting because they, you know, they have all gangs and these
Beijing.
What do they call?
It was this summer.
Yeah. What do they call the ghettos in Brazil?
The favelas.
So what they did is they were afraid that shit was going to hit the fan, so they went in. It was really interesting. They put these cameras all over the place, and they watched the cameras for a long time, and they tried to develop who were the leaders, and they went in there and just freaking got rid of them. You know, I mean it. Yeah, and nothing happened.
We're gonna have to fact check that.
Yeah, I mean,
and the Putin assassination.
Yeah. you know, one thing about those countries, in the Middle East. I mean, most of them. I hear if you could walk out in the street 2 o'clock in the morning, you ain't gonna get robbed, and nobody's gonna bother you. You know, so I mean, they're pretty. You know, that's one thing good about it. Same thing like China. I mean, they're
the industrialized part.
It's very safe when everyone's afraid.
You know, yeah. Well, if you say something wrong, but random crime usually doesn't happen. I don't know what to tell you. Listen, if you're asking me, you know, if you really feel strongly one way or the other, then don't watch it. I'm not gonna watch
you're
it.
You're not gonna watch it. What a saint.
You're brave. Yeah. You're brave.
I might watch it. No. I understand. But I'm more, I could tell you, I see tragedies in the world all the time. I see things that'll be done all the time. And, you know, you could go crazy and just give up. You know, what you could do is hopefully, you know, we're saying something here. And so hopefully some of the athletes will make a stance, you know. Maybe the best thing is for them to go there, participate, and if they win, you know, they could say, hey, this is not appropriate. You know, we don't appreciate what you guys did. But I would definitely look at those facts, and I don't know, so it's, you know, so blatant. But anyway, what do you think, Sean? Anything on them? What's your whole thing?
Yeah, I think the deaths are definitely a tragedy, and the camera's not on me. I think
Sorry.
I think It is the mixing of cultures is definitely a complicated situation, but I could see the people that live in Qatar like having a problem with all these people
living, all these hooligans.
Yeah, living as if it's a party and they have to go to work today.
Right, right, right. Think about I mean that's hard. I mean, you know, a lot of those people who are very serious, devout Muslims
host the World Cup if that's what you don't want.
Well, you know, it's that's a good point.
There's no way. I'm telling you, I'm a soccer fan.
I don't know how it gets.
No way you're gonna stop people from going berserk when their country either gets knocked out or makes it into the next round. They will fucking lose their minds.
Right, right. So, you know, and you make a good point. Probably when they were discussing this, the people there, the government said, listen, you know, we're going to have to let, you know, have an exception to the rule. And, you know, probably the very strong religious people pushed back, but they probably had internal fights, you know, and they said, listen, it's going to benefit our country in the long run. And, you know, we could put up with some of this stuff, so... Yeah, I understand. So, you know, hopefully they could contain it to this one area. Mm-hmm. And they're probably telling their population, listen, you got to deal with it for about a month. And after that, they're out of here. So, you know. But anyway, what else?
Next week we have a hot button issue we're going to start talking about that is affecting us locally.
A lot of lifeguards.
Are we going to give it up right now?
Yeah, it's tune in. We're going to talk about
some next politics. Week. We got something coming.
This has to do with the state of New Jersey and state of New Jersey's been after these two deaths. You know, and that's really what you know. I tell you what, there's always
the investigation.
Well, you know what? Whether or not you know what we talk about is good for the lifeguard profession or not? You know, there's it brought attention to lifeguarding. And a lot of people, you know, these two lifeguards who died have people started looking at it as, wow, this is not just, you know, a little summertime job. It's a very serious job. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, lifeguarding is evolving now because, it is life and death. And there's a lot of stuff that go on. Not only the lifeguards could die, but people die. And every year there's people drowning. Thank God. The vast majority don't drown when lifeguards are on duty. They definitely drown when lifeguards are off duty, which gives me, which says to me, that's how important lifeguards are. Because if you took all the lifeguards away from every beach in the summer in New Jersey, you would have hundreds of drownings, hundreds. Sure. I have no doubt in my mind that's the case. So we're going to talk about some of the issues. We're going to visit and really do a deep dive on the state of New Jersey's laws with regard to lifeguarding. And I mean, you know, where the stands have to be, how many lifeguards have to be on a stand.
So everybody listen next week.
Yeah, and we're going to try to get one of our attorney friends to call in and give us some insight on interpreting the state of New Jersey law with regard to that. And then also, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, pay for lifeguards and you know, where that's going in the state of New Jersey. So stay tuned. We'll have a, you know, good one.
Hell yeah.
Anything else? And I hope you're settled now. You vented. You feel a little better. I said you vented now.
I'm more mad about it than ever.
You know, why don't you go kick a soccer ball around? That's what you need to do.
I have a game on Sunday.
But remember,
you know what? I just would like to take this moment to announce officially to the U.S. Soccer Federation that I am taking myself out of contention for the World Cup roster.
Yo.
Okay.
Officially not be playing
in
the 2022 FIFA World Cup. I cannot stand for these human rights abusers. And, it breaks my heart. It's been my dream to play in the World Cup, but I can't do it.
I guess this year.
I'll tell you this. I'll give you this because we talk about it on my scrubbing up. You know, we need to be tolerant and everybody and people over there, you know, you may want – we try to do some soul searching, but maybe – that country leaders should also do some soul searching and maybe see, you know, if you did something wrong, if you
eloquently put catch mark.
No, you know, how about walk the walk, talk the talk, you know? Ooh. I mean, no, you're talking about people. There's a people, and you know, I don't care what their religion are, but if a people died and they shouldn't have died or they were abused, that's not good. And I I'm not saying they did that. I don't know. And as far as their rules and regulations, you know, it seems to us very, you know, a hard ask because we're very liberal in this country. And again,
even you?
Yeah, well, listen, no.
The great Kermit the Frog once said, people is people.
Right, right.
And people be people.
Right, and people. You know, and I understand there's always two sides to the coin, but we all should, you know, try to be nice to each other. Everybody has the right, in my opinion, to live. And, you know, in our country, you know, the 14th Amendment, the Declaration of Independence, everybody has the right for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or property, whatever you want to say.
Happiness.
And the liberty thing is very important, because liberty says, you know, you should be able to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, as long as you don't hurt anybody. So having said that, you know, let's hope that, you know, the World Cup goes off without any hitches, nobody dies, nobody gets killed, no stampedes, nobody gets arrested for any, you know, taking pictures or any stuff like that. And both the people who are visiting there have a great time, and the people who are sponsoring it have a great time and don't melt down. And, you know, maybe it'll turn out to be a good thing, Tyler. I don't know, you know.
But until then, check out Jersey Shore Foot and Leg Center.
Yes, .com. Yeah.
Check out LG.association on Instagram.
Right, right.
Follow us on Instagram. Check out the YouTube. Subscribe. Turn on notifications.
Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcast. So watch us there.
Yeah. Tell your friends. Pass the pod.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask you. So I asked you guys before. You're Instagram. You're up to how many viewers now?
Almost 1,000 followers.
Right, right, right. Right. On my Facebook.
Super famous.
On my Facebook, I have a couple thousand, people on my Facebook with this. You know, so anyway.
Very nice.
But so, listen, everybody, thank you for tuning in. I noticed, you know, we were off the topic a little bit with lifeguarding, but this is something passionate with our crew here. And we thought it should
lifeguards like sports.
Yeah, and also we don't like humanity to be abused. Is that a good way to put it? We're all about equal rights and everybody to have the ability to pursue their happiness. So, and in that regard, thank you, everyone. Tune in next time. Lifeguards Off Duty with Dr. Michael Catchmore.
Stay out.
Stay alive.
Woo!